Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today Masechet Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph, the third parak Ulav HaGazel. So the three daps are going to focus on number one. The next Mishnah states, "Rishona yeluv nito b'mikdash shiva." Originally, in the days of the base of Mikdash, the luv was taken in the temple all 7 days of Sukkahs, u'b'medina yom echad, and in the provinces on only one day, being the first day. When the base of Mikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai instituted that the luv be taken in the provinces all 7 days of Sukkahs, zecher l'mikdash, as a remembrance of the base of Mikdash. The Gemara asked for the source that were bidden to make a zecher l'mikdash, and Rabbi Yochanan said that it states in Yirmiyahu, "For I will make a cure for you, and from your wounds I will heal you," the word of Hashem, "ki nadacha karulach," for they, referring to the nations of the world, called you discarded one, Tzioni dor she'ein la. She is Tzion, there is none who seek her. From the words dor she'ein la, there is none who seek her, but called the boy Drisha. It's implied that she requires seeking. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai determined that the way to fulfill this is through performing the mitzvah luv the way it was done in the base of Mikdash. Pointing to the Mishnah state that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai also instituted she'a yom henef kola aser, that the entire day of waving, referring to the waving of the Omer, should be forbidden for eating from Chadash, the new crop of grain. Now Rashi explains that when the Omer is brought, Chadash is only permitted afterwards, but when there is no base of Migdash and Omer offering, it is permitted immediately upon daybreak of the 16th. The Gemara teaches that we're not from Yochanan Zakkai's institution. In the time when there will be a Beis Hamikdash, people will say, "Well, last year on the 16th of Nisan, did we not become permitted to eat from the Chadash upon daybreak? So now too, let us eat at daybreak." And they wouldn't realize that now that the Beis Hamikdash stands, it's the bringing of the Omer that permits it. The Gemara seeks to clarify the day Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was concerned that the temple would be rebuilt, since if it was built on the 16th of Nisan, people would eat the Chadash at daybreak. And if it was built on the 15th or earlier, it would become permissible to eat from midday onward after the Omer was brought. The Gemara concludes that the case is when the temple was rebuilt the night of the 16th or just before Shkia on the 15th, which might cause a delay for it to be brought on the 16th. Rashi clarifies that even though the temple is not permitted to be rebuilt at night or on Yantav, the restrictions only apply to human construction. However, by Shlishi, the third temple will miraculously descend intact from Shemaim, as it says in the Pasuk, "Mikdash Hashem konuni yadecha," the Mikdash, my master, that your hand established. And point number three, a brace was brought that states that a person cannot fulfill his chiyuv of luv on the first day of Yantiv with his friend's luv, elim ken nasnu lo b'matana, unless the latter gave it to him as a gift and brings an incident where Magamliel, who was traveling on a boat with other rabbanim, gave his luv worth 1,000 zuz to the other rabbanim to use, each one gifting the luv to the next one. And the Rebbe Akiva, who used the last, returned it. The Tana is coming to teach that matana al manas lachzir shma matana, a gift granted on condition that it be returned, is legally considered a gift. Rava taught that if one did not return the luv afterwards, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Since he didn't fulfill the condition, it's clarified retroactively that the gift was void and that he used a stolen luv. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, "Barishona yeluv nito b'mikdash shiva." Originally, in the days of the base of Mikdash, the luv was taken in the temple all 7 days of Sukkahs, u'medina yom echad, and in the provinces on only one day, being the first day. When the base of Mikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai instituted that the luv be taken in the provinces all 7 days of Sukkahs, zecher l'mikdash, as a remembrance of the base of Mikdash. The Gemara asked for the source that were bidden to make a zecher l'mikdash, and Rabbi Yochanan said, that states in Yirmiyahu, "For I will make a cure for you, and from your wounds I will heal you," the word of Hashem, "ki nadacha karulach," for they, referring to the nations of the world, called you discarded one, Tzion hi dor she'ein la, saying, "She is Tzion, there is none who seek her." From the words dor she'ein la, "there is none who seek her," McCall the boy Drisha, it's implied that she requires seeking. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai determined that the way to fulfill this is through performing the mitzvah lulav the way it was done in the base of Mikdash. Pointing to the Mishnah state that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai also instituted she yom henef kula aser, that the entire day of waving, referring to the waving of the Omer, should be forbidden for eating from Chadash, the new crop of grain. Rashi explains that when the Omer is brought, Chadash is only permitted afterwards, but when there's no base of Mikdash and Omer offering, it's permitted immediately upon daybreak of the 16th. The Gemara teaches that we're not from Yochanan Zakkai's institution. In the time when there will be a base of Mikdash, people will say, "Well, last year on the 16th of Nisan, did we not become permitted to eat from the Chadash upon daybreak? Now too, let us eat at daybreak." And they would not realize that now that the base of Mikdash stands, it's the bringing of the Omer that permits it. The Gemara seeks to clarify the day Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was concerned that the temple would be rebuilt, since if it was built on the 16th of Nisan, people could eat the Chadash at daybreak. And if it was built on the 15th or earlier, it would become permissible to eat from midday onward after the Omer was brought. The Gemara concludes that the case is when the temple was rebuilt the night of the 16th or just before Shkia on the 15th, which might cause a delay for it to be brought on the 16th. Rashi clarifies that even though the temple is not permitted to be rebuilt at night or on Yantiv, the restriction only applies to human construction. However, by Shlishi, the third temple will miraculously descend from Shemayim, as it says in the Pasuk, Mikdash Hashem Konnu Yadecha, the Mikdash, my master, that your hand established. And point number three, a brice was brought that states that a person cannot fulfill his chiyuv of luav on the first day of Yantiv with his friend's luav, elim ken nasim lo b'matana, unless the latter gave it to him as a gift, and brings an incident where Gamliel, who's traveling on a boat with other rabbanim, gave his luav worth 1,000 zuz to the other rabban to use, each one gifting the luav to the next one, and then Rabbi Akiva, who used the last, returned it. The Tana is coming to teach them matana manas lachzir shma matana. A gift granted on condition that it be returned is legally considered a gift. Rava taught that if one did not return the lulav afterwards, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Since he didn't fulfill the condition, it's clarified retroactively that the gift was void and that he used a stolen lulav. All right, so now we go to our simmer dav mem alef, and our standard simmon is related to amma, but we use a grandma to make it a little more distinct. So here goes. The grandma, who loved to seek out ways to do a zecher l'mikdash, proudly benched the lulav for 7 days straight and gave her special chadish bowl as a gift to friends to be used after the 16th on condition they return it. Once again, in slow motion. The grandma, that must be one duff, mem olive. The grandma, who loved to seek out ways to do a zecher l'mikdash, proudly benched luv for 7 days straight. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Barishona yeluv nito b'mikdash shiva. Originally, in the days of the base of mikdash, luv was taken in the temple all 7 days of Sukkot, and the provinces on only one day being the first day. When the base of mikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that luv be taken in the provinces all 7 days of Sukkot, zecher l'mikdash, as a remembrance of the base of mikdash. The Gemara asked for the source that would have been to make a zecher l'mikdash, and Rabbi Yochanan said that states in Yirmiyahu, Tzion hi dorish ein la, saying, she is Tzion, there is none who seek her. From the words Dorj Ainla, there is none who seek her, Makod the boy Drisha, it's implied that she requires seeking. From Yochim and Zaka determined that the way to fulfill this is through performing the mitzvah luv the way it was done in the base of Mikdash. So the grandma who left to seek out ways to do a zecher of Mikdash proudly benched luv for 7 days straight and gave her special chadash bowl as a gift to friends to be used after the 16th, which reminds us. The Mishnah say that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai also instituted Shi Yom Hanef Kula Asur, that the entire day of waving, referring to the wave of the Omer, should be forbidden for eating from Chadash, the new crop of grain. Rashi explains that when the Omer is brought, Chadash is only permitted afterwards, but when there's no base in Mikdash and Omer offering, it's permitted immediately upon daybreak of the 16th. The Gemara teaches that we're not from Yochanan Zakkai's institution. In the time when there will be a base in Mikdash, people will think that it's permitted at daybreak since the previous year it was permitted then. The Gemara seeks to clarify the day Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was concerned that the temple would be rebuilt and concludes that the case is when the temple was rebuilt the night of the 16th or just before Shkia on the 15th, which might cause a delay for it to be brought on the 16th. Rashi clarifies that even though the temple is not permitted to be rebuilt at night or on Yantiv, the restrictions only apply to human construction. However, by Shlishi will miraculously descend intact from Shemayim, as it says in the Pasuk, Mikdash Hashem Konnu Yadecha, the Mikdash, my master, that your hand established. So the grandma, who loved to seek out ways to do a zecher Mikdash, proudly benched luv for 7 days straight and gave her special chadish bowl as a gift to friends to be used after the 16th, on condition they return it. Which reminds us, a brice was brought that states that a person cannot fulfill his chiyuv of luv on the first day of Yantiv with his friend's luv, elim ken nasnu luv b'matana, unless the latter gave it to him as a gift, and brings an incident where Ben Gamliel was traveling in a boat with other rabban, gave his luv worth 1,000 zuz to the other rabban to use, each one gifting the luv to the next one, and then Rabbi Akiva, who used the last, returned it. The Tana is coming to teach that matana amanas lachzir shma matana, a gift granted on condition that be returned, is legally considered a gift. Rava taught that if one did not return the luv afterwards, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Since he didn't fulfill the condition, it's clarified retroactively that the gift was void and that he used a stolen luv. So once again, the grandma who loved to seek out ways to do a zecher l'mikdash proudly benched luv for 7 days straight and gave her special chadish bowl as a gift to friends to be used after the 16th on condition they return it. All right, now it's time for a four blah back chazara. Daf Lamed Zayin. So the simmer Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. The laser tag champ, that must be our Daf Lamed Zayin. The laser tag champ hiding out in the sukkah with the dalad meaning schach, which reminds us of Malchus Ramiram the Rebuta whether the schach can be made of anything that grows from the ground, and is not makabel tumah, or it must come from the dalad meaning. Rebuta brings the kavah chomer for the mitzvah of luv. If the luv, which only applies by day, comes to the dalad meaning, kavah chomer to the sukkah, which applies in the day and the night, that it should come for the dalad meaning. So they said, Rabbi Yehuda, called din shatadan tchilasu lahachmer v'sof lahakel enodin. Any kal v'chomer that you advance with the intent to be more machmer, but whose end results in a kula, is not an admissible kal v'chomer. For according to you, if one cannot find schach from the dal minim, he will not be able to fulfill the mitzvah. And the pasuk says, "Pasukas teshu shivas yamim zukas yishol dwell for 7 days." So the laser tag champ hiding out in the sukkah with the dal meaning schach zapped his rival as he was sniffing a hadas. Which reminds the Gemara cites a number of Rabbah's rulings, Hadas shal mitzvah asul ariechbo, esrog shal mitzvah mutul ariechbo, concerning the Hadas, that's designated for the mitzvah, is forbidden to smell it on sukkahs, but concerning the esrog, designated for the mitzvah, one is permitted to smell it on sukkahs. So what's the reason? With respect to Hadas, which normally stands to be used for smelling, when one sets it aside for the mitzvah, he sets it aside from the use of smelling. And Rashi explains that the prohibition is derived through the analogy of the sukkah. The chal shem shemai malatze sukkah. The wood is consecrated for the mitzvah of sukkah and may not be used for other purposes. But with respect to the esrog, which normally stands to be used for eating, when one sets it aside for the mitzvah, he set it aside from the use of eating. But he didn't set it aside from the use of smelling. So the laser tag champ hiding out in the sukkah with the dalet meaning schach zapped his rival as he was sniffing a hadas and kept the enemy team at bay by waving his laser gun back and forth. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains the symbolism of the waving the lulav back and forth and up and down. Daf Lamed Ches, so the simur Daf Lamed Ches is a double lach, and we use chicken soup. So here goes. When the host interrupted his chicken soup meal, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Ches, a double lach. When the host interrupted his chicken soup meal, when he saw that his lulav had arrived, which reminds us, the Gemara presents a contradiction and states in the Mishnah that one takes the lulav at the table by Meimah Damapsik, which is to say that he must interrupt his meal in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But it states in the Mishnah in Shabbos that if one began his meal before davening mincha, he's not required to interrupt his meal, but can finish and daven afterwards. Rav Safra said there's no stira. The Mishnah in Shabbos refers to where there's enough time in the day to finish the meal and daven, whereas our Mishnah is dealing with when there's not enough time to finish and take the lulav. So when the host interrupted his chicken soup meal, when he saw that his lulav had arrived, he began reciting Halel with Haluka, upon which his guests responded in kind. Which reminds Gemara brings Rav who said major halachas can be deduced from the current custom for the recitation of Halel. Rashi explains that the custom in Rav's time changed considerably from when Halel was instituted by the Nevi'im, as people became more proficient in reciting Halel together with the Baal Tefillah, and the custom was to do it in unison, except in certain places. The first halacha of six that Rav mentioned was that the Baal Tefillah would recite the first word Haluka, and the people would respond Haluka. Bikansha mitzvahs lanos Haluka. From here, it can be inferred that it's a mitzvah to respond Haluka at the beginning of Halel. So when the host interrupted his chicken soup meal, when he saw that his lulav had arrived, he began reciting Halel with Haluka, upon which his guests responded in kind, except for the man who was busy enjoying his matzah ball, who merely listened as his form of response. Which reminds us that the source for Shomei Ko'ona comes from the pasuk that states that Yoshiyahu read from the Sefer when in fact he listened to Shafan read it. We see from here that Shomei Ko'ona. Daf Lamites, so the Simur Daf Lamites is a letter, so here goes. When the letter, that must mean we're on Daf Lamites. When the letter with the instructions to recite a bracha at the beginning of Halel arrived, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph stated, where the minhag with Halel is levarach, yavarach, to recite a bracha, one recites a bracha. Abai said, they taught that the manner of making a bracha is a minhag only with regard to the one recited after Halel. But with regard to the bracha recited before Halel, there's an actual chiyuv to recite the bracha. Rabbi Yehuda said, in the name of Shmuel, kol ha-mitzvahs kulan, mevarach alehen over l'siyas son. Regarding all of the mitzvahs, one recites the bracha for them immediately before the performance. The Gemara asks which pasuk indicates the word over has the meaning of before and brings three sources. So when the letter with the instructions to recite a bracha at the beginning of Halel arrived, along with the Shemitah lulav package that came with an esrog as a present, which reminds the next Mishnah states that if one purchases a lulav during Shemitah from an Amar Arz, he must give him the esrog as a gift because he's not permitted to purchase it from it during Shemitah. If the Amar Arz does not want to give him the esrog as a gift, Rav Huna said, Mavlile Deme Esrog Bululav. He includes the cost of the esrog in the price of the lulav. Rashi explains they should raise the price of the lulav to the point where he can give the esrog as a gift. So when the letter with the instructions to recite a bracha at the beginning of Halel arrived, along with the Shemitah lulav package that came with an esrog as a present, the man made sure to pay the Amar Arz only enough to purchase three meals, which reminds us. The Gemara questions why the Mishnah forbids one to purchase an esrog outright and answers, Levisha ain't mosin to make Paris Shvi's Amar Arz, because one's not permitted to give an Amar Arz money from the sale of Shemitah produce because he may use the money in a forbidden manner. Rashi explains that the Torah states that Shvi's produce is la'achla, v'lo l'schora, for you to eat and not to do commerce. This does not prohibit the produce from being sold. Rather, it teaches that the money, like the produce for which it was received, must be consumed, meaning spent on food or similar items during Shemitah. Anama Arts is suspect of saving his money past this time. If one purchases produce from him, then he'll be leading to sin. For Rosh Hashanah Brisa, one is not permitted to give Anama Arts money from the sale of Shemitah produce above the cost of purchasing three meals. Daf Mem. So the Simmer Daf Mem is a swimming pool. So here goes. The lifeguard who used a little broom with Kedusha Shviz to sweep around the pool deck. Pool? That must be on Daf Mem. The lifeguard who used a lulav broom with Kedusha Shviz to sweep around the pool deck, which reminds us, the Gemara notes that the reason a lulav may be purchased from an Anama Arts during Shemitah is because it's a product of the sixth year that entered the seventh, which implies, had the Shviz, Kadosh, that a lulav that is a product of the seventh year has Kedusha Shviz. Why should this be so? A lulav is mere wood, not produce, and wood has no Kedusha Shviz. The Gemara answers that the Pasuk states the produce of the land during Shviz is lechem la'achla, for you to eat, lechem dumya de la'achla. The larger uses permitted by lechem must be similar to those of the phrase l'achla. This teaches that the uses are permitted are only misha hanaso ubi'iro shava, those whose benefit coincides with the consumption of the produce. This would exclude wood from Kedusha Shviz, whose benefit comes after its consumption, meaning when it's already reduced to coals. A lulav's typical use as a broom has its benefit and consumption, meaning it gets worn down, at the same time making it subject to Kedusha Shviz. So the lifeguard who used a lulav broom with Kedusha Shviz to sweep around the pool deck found monies with Kedusha Shviz, which reminds us we have a machlokes regarding Kedusha Shviz attaching onto money. Rabbi Elazar said, Ein Shviz mischalelus ela derech mekach. Shemitah produce cannot be mischalelus, meaning impart its Kedusha to money or produce exchange for it, except by way of purchase. Rabbi Yochanan said, Ben derech mekach, ben derech chilul. It can be imparted both by way of purchase and by way of chilul. Rashi explains that one would say this produce should be mechulalin onto these monies. The Gemara brings the respective psukim that support each position. So the lifeguard who used a lulav broom with Kedusha Shviz to sweep around the pool deck found monies with Kedusha Shviz right next to a poor Shemitah violator who was trying to sell his metaltelin to some of the pool guests. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, what then does Rabbi Yochanan do with the pasuk "Kisimchru mimkar" when you shall make a sale? And answers that he needs it for the source of the teaching of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. For Rabbi Yossi taught, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said, "Bo orei kama kasha avakasho shviz." Come and see how harsh is the dust of the prohibition of shviz. For a man does business with the produce of the Shemitah year, hoping to profit thereby. In the end, poverty will force him to sell his metaltelin b'kelim. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldin Zichron. Wishing a great day and great learning.